And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a regular basis. All right, all you positive heads, today we have something very special in store for you all. I'm thrilled to announce that in collaboration with our friends from one of my all-time favorite transformational festivals, Lucidity, between now and April, we'll be bringing you a special edition podcast each and every week, showcasing a different workshop from one of the past Lucidity Festival gatherings. We're doing this in support and anticipation of the 5th chapter in the epic journey that is Lucidity Festival, called Crossroads, which is coming up April 8th through 10th, 2016 in Santa Ynez, which is located right next to Santa Barbara, California, at the beautiful Live Oak Campground. Also, as if the magic that is Lucidity Festival wasn't already enough, this year the Lucidity team is stepping up their game and doing something extra special by launching their very first ever Lucid University Course Week. The Lucid University Course Week will provide a variety of 3-day intensive trainings on site at Live Oak Campground April 4th through 6th, with the classes taking place while Lucidity Festival itself is being set up and built. These dynamic courses are designed to offer immersive educational experiences, resulting in certifications of completion for students interested in 5 general areas of study to choose from. You've got spirit works, community works, earth works, creative works, and body works. They have a really strong curriculum with excellent instructors where you can learn everything from Reiki to lucid dreaming to permaculture design and more. The hardest part for me is honestly just choosing which class and certification I would like to pursue, because they all sound so juicy. Bottom line, this truly is a rare opportunity to learn from experts in a unique and exciting environment that will inevitably be alive with the buzz and anticipation of the imminent festivities. As far as cost goes, well, that varies depending on how much Lucidity goodness you'll want to sign up for. But whatever you do decide, you'll want to move quick, because Lucidity Festival always sells out. And I imagine the available Lucidity University seats are going fast, too. So head over to LucidityFestival.com to check out all the options. And be sure to use the code POSITIVEHEAD, all one word, to get a $10 discount off any and all tickets.
Hello, Positive Heads. Dalian here to introduce the 10th episode in our weekly Lucidity Workshop series entitled Healing Through Loving Kindness Practice by Bhante Sujatha. Bhante has been a Buddhist monk for over 30 years, focused on teaching loving kindness meditation through a deep yet simple approach. And he is founder and head of the Blue Lotus Temple in Illinois. In this talk, he discusses the difference between simple relaxation and the dedicated practice of meditation. And he relates personal stories of forgiveness and healing through acceptance and courage. Hope you'll enjoy.
It's my honor to introduce Bhante Sujatha to the Lucidity Festival family. He traveled with Lucidity at Sea two years ago, and we all talked about what we're doing in this valley, and he was interested and willing, and so I'm very happy to introduce you to Bhante Sujatha.
Okay, good morning, everybody. So before I talk on healing through loving kindness, I would like to start with a short meditation. the morning. So everybody can find a very comfortable position. Try to keep your back straight as much as you can. Gently close the eyes. Take few deep, long breaths and relax your whole body. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes. Observe all of the different parts of your body individually and see if they are relaxed, free of tension or strain. Anywhere you find tension or strain, concentrate your mind on that area and allow it to release and relax. Experience relaxation and peace. Feel harmony with your body. Feel close to yourself. Now send your loving thoughts towards yourself, thinking, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. Understand the meaning of each word clearly and deeply, then repeat it to yourself. I am well. I am happy. I am peaceful. Experience loving motivation towards yourself. Now slowly turn your attention to the subtle sensation of the breath. Every breath you take in, you take out, is taken mindfully. Focus on your natural, ordinary breaths. Don't do it by force. It is happening in this moment. You're just watching it. Breathe in mindfully. Breathe out mindfully. Breathe in lovingly. Breathe out lovingly. If you are distracted by a thought, or a feeling, or a sensation, bring your attention back gently but firmly to the spot where you experience that subtle sensation of the breath. No need to repress your thoughts. No need to control your thoughts. Let them come. Let them go. Understand, we cannot control our mind. We cannot control our thoughts, but we can observe our thoughts. We can observe our mind. We can observe our feelings. We can observe our sensations. What is happening right now, right here, in this present moment? You are silent observer, observing what is coming and what is going, without making any judgment, good or bad, right or wrong. Without condemning, without grasping, without pushing them away. Just accept things as they are. Mind wanders. That is the nature of the mind. Nothing to do about it. Let it be. You all are beautiful human beings. You all have this opportunity right here, right now, to look within what is happening in total way. Sometimes meditation seems to be difficult because our concentration is not well developed. To climb a mountain, we need certain physical strength. First day of climbing is difficult, but we will get used to it. Climbing becomes much easier. Same with your meditation practice. It takes time. Don't try to do meditation. Just being without trying. Sometimes you may experience laziness, sleepiness, some boredom, doubts, regrets. Be aware about them. Those are distractions to your life, to your practice. Watch them without getting involved. Now observe your mind. Observe your body. Your body is relaxed. Your mind is calm, tranquil, and peaceful. Make a strong determination to practice this simple meditation technique every day, regularly, with diligence and patience. Understand how important this meditation practice is. Keep yourself happy, peaceful, and balanced. now I'm going to do a short chant to give blessing and open your heart and mind this morning to this present moment, to understand the value of your beautiful life. Please listen mindfully and attentively. Ahunsa asmabhinim mitasa yudhantam girimikalam udita gore sasena maram dana didhamma vidina jitva munindo tante jasa bhavatute jaya mangalani mara tirek mabiyut jit sambharantin ghoram pana lavak mak matandayak Khanti Sudhanta Vidhina Jitva Munindo Thante Jasa Bhava Tute Jaya Mangalani. May you be well. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. Thank you very much. Please open your eyes. Okay, good morning everybody, happy to see you all. I want to ask a question from you. Maybe you are so used to the word meditation. When the word meditation, when you hear that word, quickly something come to your mind. What is that? Something come to your mind? Maybe different things.
Sitting.
Okay. Anything?
Quiet.
Mindfulness.
Quiet.
Stillness.
Breath.
Okay.
Huh?
Breath. Breath. Yes. Good. So my experience last 16 years teaching meditation around the country, many new people who come to meditation, I'm asking, why do you want to meditate? I'm asking when new people come. Then people say, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I have this problem and that problem, so I want to relax. That's why I want to meditate. But relaxation is not meditation. Now we have to understand two words. One word is relaxation. Other one is meditation. The word meditation is very popular subject here in the West. But I was born into a meditative culture, so we don't focus on that word that much, even we I born into that culture. So meditation is there, not nobody's talking about it. So after I moved to West, I can see people are going crazy about meditation. One of my students came to me and asked me, because I'm traveling a lot, Vante, do you have plan to go to Hollywood? I asked, why Hollywood, especially Hollywood? So then he said, those people are crazy about meditation. If you go there, you can be a millionaire. That's what he said. I said, that's not the goal, or that's not the point of my life, to become a millionaire. If I want to become a millionaire, I don't want to become a monk. So anyway, that means people are different ways people are thinking about it. So now think about how many people do yoga. Maybe some people do yoga. So when you do yoga, what is the last pose you do? Shavasana. So after doing our yoga, when you are doing 45 minutes, then you feel, come on Shavasana, I want to lay down. So when you lay down on the yoga mat, how do you feel in that moment? Still, relax, very peaceful, enlightenment is there. Now think about, you are living in Los Angeles or Santa Barbara, I don't know where you live, so big cities maybe. And so you do morning yoga before you go to work, first thing in the morning. Then you are so happy, so relaxed and so calm, peaceful, everything is there, fulfilled. Now you are jumping to the car and driving in Los Angeles. 8 in the morning. Now you are middle of the traffic. So just imagine yourself. Now you feel same thing you experience laying on your yoga mat. Happy and peaceful, calm and relaxed. Middle of traffic, most of the time, not at all. That means right after you go away from your yoga mat, you are in the same place. That is the nature of relaxation. In that moment, you feel something good. Right after you interact your daily life, you are in the same place. The benefit of relaxation is temporary. It is always come and go. Nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. Always come and go. And also, people who relax their body and mind, when they experience something good about it, the second reaction get attached to it. So that means you're stuck. Then after that, you don't want to do anything. When people who relax, this is the word I use, people go to a trance. When you are in the trance state of mind, you want to be there. You want to fantasize it. And also, one young man, maybe I don't have that experience, but I want to share that story. Then he said, practicing meditation and using substance, drugs, is same to me. I said, I'm sorry, I don't have that experience. Explain to me. So when I come to the temple and practice meditation, I feel so relaxed and peaceful. When I do the substance and drugs, I feel the same thing. Then I ask him, you keep doing it? Then he said, yes. I asked, why? If I don't keep doing it, I don't feel it the same. That means it's temporary, coming and going. In the meditation, in the beginning, when you experience relaxation, exactly like that. You go to a trance, then you enjoy it, but it is not forever. Then you have to go and interact with everyday life, then you are in the same place. So, what is meditation then? The word I use for meditation, self-discovery. Meditation means self-discovery. Discovering how you feel, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions and sensations. How you discover, watching and observing. Those are the two things. Watching and observing, you are discovering what is truly happening. For example, you get angry. Anybody get angry? Yes. When you know, when you get angry, person who practice true meditation, what he or she does? Watch and observe. When you watch and observe, what you are watching and observing, what is the cause for my anger? Where is anger coming from? What is the reason? Why? You are asking the question. So when you have some problem or angry, you are always telling, I'm angry. Then you don't find the solution. So when you are angry, you have to ask, as a meditation practitioner, why I am angry right now. So the answers maybe you will find, number one is, I want to control. I want to control myself. I want to control other people. I want to control the weather. I want to control my wife. I want to control my husband. Parents want to control children. Children want to control parents. And so when you are trying to control things and the nature and people, then you get upset. You get angry. You get mad. Why? You cannot control. So if, you know, the when you watch with your meditation practice, I cannot control things and people the way I want, then you can see the cause. Then you can enjoy your life. Otherwise, always you are pointing fingers for other people for to make your life happy and peaceful. That means until you die, you will be unhappy. Why? You are dependent on other people. So in the Eastern culture, there is a word for meditation, like yoga, same language, Sanskrit. The word we use, bhavana. Okay, bhavana. People who used to meditation, maybe they know that word, bhavana. English-speaking countries like United States, they translated this word bhavana as meditation. It is totally wrong. That's why people confused. Bhavana, it means cultivation of the mind, developing the mind, mental culture. When you sit and practice meditation, it means you are developing your mind. If you don't do that, that's not meditation at all. If you're just sitting and don't do anything, what you are doing? You are just relaxing your body and mind. This makes sense now? Okay. So one of my friend who came to me and said, "And Bhante, I'm practicing meditation last 15 years. I said, how wonderful. Great. I'm so happy. I'm proud about you. Then he said, no, I'm so disappointed about this whole practice. I'm not doing good. And so I asked why? Because in my country, so many meditation techniques, so many meditation teachers. So every time when teacher comes, I go to that teacher. Every time when I see a new technique, I will follow that technique. American people are very good to try different things. I'm very proud about you, right? And so every time if I try those people and teaching, the end of the day, I feel more confused. Then my second year of the country, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I just smiled and I didn't say anything. One day, I realized what he exactly said, middle of the grocery store. I'm not the grocery person, once in a while I do. And so one of my brother monk called me, I was driving. And if you are very close by to the store, please go and pick some tea. I'm coming from Sri Lanka, Ceylon tea, I'm so used to tea. I said, oh, not a big deal, I can do that. So I went to the store, first time in my life in the United States. I went to the store looking for some tea. I was shocked. Why? 1,000 kind of tea. Right? 1,000 kind of tea. What I did without even thinking, I grabbed the phone, I called my brother monk and asked, what kind of tea do you want? He's from Sri Lanka too. Then he said, what are you talking about? Just tea. Then I realized I'm confused middle of the tea aisle. Now asking question, he is confused. Then I realized the person who asked about the meditation, he said he is confused with meditation. What is the difference? I'm confused with tea, somebody confused with meditation. So now I'm so used to your culture. When you buy something, what you are doing? Read the labels. Now I'm keep reading the labels. It took 20 minutes for me. Why old? Good tea. And so I found good one good tea, good for sleep. good for wake up. Yogi is tea. Yogin is tea. Calm in the mind, inner peace, tranquility, eliminate your stress. All those wonderful tea. Then I was thinking myself, why I travel so bad all over the place to share this message and eating some airport food, which I don't like, no options. And so why I stop, doesn't stay home and go and get all the tea brand, and whoever call me or email me, oh, drink this tea, you can be very loving. Drink this tea, you can eliminate totally your stress. You will be very peaceful. I can do that, very easy. Then I felt that doesn't work. That doesn't work. So my recent discovery, this recent experience about tea is so funny, you will laugh. I was teaching in a yoga studio. The owner, his name is Adam. Adam asked me to winter day in Chicago. When they have some tea before the class, I just opened the cabinet. I saw something exciting tea. It's called pregnancy tea. Then I talked to Adam. I said, Adam, this is not for me. I'm not ready yet. And so we started laughing. So when I see that, I felt something wrong with this world. Something wrong with this world. So then I realized business world, business people, that's how business runs. They recognize our weak emotions. They recognize our weak emotions. Accordingly, they know how to sell our products. That's how business runs. It's totally agreeable. That's how the business world, right? So, as a meditation practitioner, you have to be mindful, not involved with people and things emotionally. Make sense? If you are engaged with things and people emotionally, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. So how you have to involve when you go to the grocery store? When you go to buy something, how you have to involve? With mindfulness. Then you just buy whatever you want, not whole grocery store. Now people keep buying. I know this country, there is an issue. People keep buying things. After 2 years, they are doing the garage sale. Why? Keep buying things. There is no control. So now you have to understand this whole meditation practice, practicing mindfulness, practicing awareness, understanding your emotions, understanding how you feel, understanding your sensations, not reacting like an animal. Just more awareness is present. Okay, now that's enough about the meditation, what to do. Now what is meditation? Cultivation of the mind, developing the mind. So now I have another question. What do you want to develop? If it is cultivation of the mind, what do you want to cultivate at a meditation practice in your life? Anything?
Love.
Love. Joy.
Patience.
Patience, wonderful. Huh? Okay. Focus. Compassion, see? Now think about if you have those qualities, how beautiful our life? How beautiful? That's what meditation all about. Now, today I am going to talk about something very special. Cultivation of loving kindness. Cultivation of loving kindness. When I say that word, maybe you made the judgment or you had the thought, oh, I know loving kindness. This whole Lucidity Festival is all about loving kindness. I know that. So maybe that's the thought maybe pop into your mind. But let's discuss how about this loving kindness works for everybody. So now please explain to me, because this is my second language, please explain to me, how do you define the word loving kindness?
Metta.
Metta means loving kindness. That's a Pali word or Sanskrit word. Anything? How do you define to yourself or somebody ask or child come to you and I like this beautiful word. Sounds so beautiful. What is that? How you are going to explain? Selfless act, beautiful.
Long suffering.
Huh?
Long suffering.
Okay, beautiful.
Acceptance.
Acceptance, great. Connecting. Okay, wonderful. So, when you practice loving kindness, people are so good to do things for other people. When I was teaching my first journey in Chicago, you know, all the American people who come to meditation, you can see I'm funny. I'm always a little loud and laughing. So people did a real good job with me practicing meditation. But watching and observing everybody around, I felt something wrong. I don't know what it is, I cannot see. Then I talked to that 10, 15 people. I want to do one-on-ones with each person, okay? I gave them each person like 20 minutes. I said, every day I'm talking to you, today you talk to me. I want to hear your story, your childhood experience, your parents, or whatever you want to share. Now I'm listening. These people honestly opened their heart. When I was listening to those people, I realized, I saw, I experienced, these people have self-hatred and anger. Self-hatred and anger. But every day when they come and sit in front of me and practice meditation, they are joyful, they are happy, they are smiling. Now they are angry in front of me, they are unhappy, they are hating for somebody, and a lot of things going on. Then after listening to these stories, what I figured, no matter who we are, we all are carrying self-hatred and anger. The word I use, wounded minds. We all have wounded minds. Now when I was walking around the festival, I saw everybody is so loving to each other, giving hugs, and it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful to see. They are smiling, but that's the real life? Ask a question, that's the real life? No, I don't think so. That's not real life. So when we really close to get close to the people, we can see the real life because they have wounded minds. So then I realized before I go to these deeper meditation practice, I have to teach them how to heal these wounded minds. Then they will take care of the rest. That's my job, to help them to heal their wounded minds. And also I realized even we have these wounded minds, people know how to smile. Now looking at me, you don't see my wounded minds, right? You don't see. If you want to know my difficulties and my problem, please come to Chicago. You will see all of them. If you sit with me and closely. And so when I looking at you, you know, when I say something funny, you always smiling. I can see on your face. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. Maybe you have problems, but the good thing about you, we all know how to smile. What it means, we have possibilities. Even we have problems, we know how to smile. It means we all have possibilities to make our life beautiful, make our life happy, make our life content. So my word, being a Buddhist monk, I can see each smile, they have Buddha nature within. When each person smile, I can see little tiny Buddha try to popping up. That's great. You all are the Buddhas. You all have that beautiful nature, Buddha nature. Whatever nature you want to use, or the Jesus nature, it doesn't matter for me. Whatever word you feel comfortable. So what I did, okay, middle of nowhere, one Saturday morning, I talked to people. Today, I'm going to change the meditation format. I'm going to teach you how to practice loving kindness. Again, as I said, American people love to try new things. I'm so happy about it and very excited. Bhante, we are so excited. Let's do it. I said, okay, sure. I was guiding loving kindness meditation. How I did? I asked to repeat them simple three words. I am well. I am happy. I am peaceful. That's what I started when I was 11 years old, young monk. That's how I started my journey. I am well. I am happy. I am peaceful. Now people keep repeating those three words. After 30 minutes, I ask, how do you like it? Then everybody said, it is so good, but lots of work. But I know one woman every day, almost 3 years, sitting in front of me, very happy, smiling. She was looking at me angrily, and she said, I hate loving kindness meditation. I was kind of shocked. Why? She's happy woman, now she hate loving kindness meditation. Then I was thinking she's making a joke. I asked, are you serious? She said, no. Yes, I'm serious. It doesn't make any sense. Practicing loving kindness. So then I asked, explain to me. Then she said, I can practice love for other people. No problem. It's very easy for me. But practicing loving kindness for myself, it is selfish. That's what she said. It is selfish. Then I said, if you don't have loving kindness for you, how you are going to loving kindness for other people? She said, very easy. She said, you know, this is how I do. I come to this church doing homeless program 15 years. I am the coordinator. I coordinate the homeless shelter. So that means I'm giving love for other people. Then I felt, oh, she's doing it. Then again I felt, no, she's wrong. Then I had the delusion in my mind, which I don't have it now. I'm a Buddhist monk. I know how to fix the world. Now I don't have it at all. I'm not trying to fix the world, but I can fix myself. And so having that intention, I was thinking, I'm going to fix you. I didn't say that, but I was thinking about it. So thinking like that, I'm keep trying to help her and support her. Every time when I say something good, she gets more angry. Then I said, okay, I totally understand. Relax. Let me ask this. Now I am asking you to, okay, you have to imagine yourself. Now this is the first time you meet me. I asked her, this is first, you know, you want to give me a gift. Now Bhante is here, first time I am going to give you a gift. So giving gift in this country, another exciting thing. So when you give me a gift, I ask her, I am asking you, now I receive your gift. What do you want to hear? Huh? What do you want to hear after I receive your gift? Thank you. I'm a monk. I just leave your gift. Usually I have to open it. I have to say, this is so beautiful. This is very exciting. This is the first gift I ever received such. And so I have to say all the beautiful word to make you happy. So after I leave your gift behind, I don't say thank you. I'm smiling always, but I'm not smiling to you. I know no appreciation. How do you feel? I ask her too. How do you feel? Be honest.
Annoyed.
Hurt. Right? What she said? She said, you are terrible Buddhist monk. I don't like you if you don't know how to say thank you. I said, thank you anyway. I can handle that. Then I ask her, giving this gift to me, you are practicing loving kindness towards me? She said, yes, that's why I spend my money. I said, no. My words are a little, you know, I think firm. I said, you are so selfish. You are so selfish. You are not loving. If you truly love me, you can give me one gift or 10 gifts. It doesn't matter. I can receive all your gifts. After receiving your gift, my job, my responsibility to say thank you. If you have expectation to receive thank you, there's something wrong with you. I said, this makes sense? So that means you are selfish. You didn't give me the gift. I'm holding it, but emotionally you are clinging to it. In my language, my own language, giving means go away from my hand. That's the literal meaning. Go away from my hand. If something go away from your hand, what it means? No control over it. So now I have so many students around the world. When I travel, they give me little gifts. Now I collected them so many years. Now it's a pain for me. Why? I travel a lot. Now I have to dust, I have to clean. One day I was thinking, I'm doing annual project helping mothers and the babies. I'm going to auction these, all the items people donated to me, and raise fund for the mothers and the babies. One day at the temple, there's a big auction. Everybody excited to get things, my things, right? And one man, one of my good friend and student, he came to me holding nice, beautiful mala bead sandalwood and holding to my face and asked, Bhante, do you remember this? I said, yeah, it's a mala bead. Do you remember who gave it to you? I said, no. Because you can see thousands of things here. I cannot remember. I gave it to you 9 years ago. these mala beads. I went to India, I picked something beautiful, real sandalwood mala bead, thinking about you, my love, my compassion, my gratitude for my teacher, but you don't like me anymore. Now you are, you know, throwing these mala beads away. It is so disrespecting to me. I said right away, I'm very firm when even when I come to my student, and even I'm very loving and kind. I said, did you give it to me 9 years ago? That's what I'm talking about. If you gave it to me, that's mine. Then this mala bead is mine. I can do whatever you want. I want now. Now this is not belong to me. I said, go away. I said. He was so shocked what I said. Then he walked away. Then after 45 minutes later, he came back and he apologized. I said, my friend, I love you so much. Don't attach to it. Let it go. Then he said, no, Bhante, I'm going to get it back. Now I have more value to this because you use it 9 years. Now I'm going to get the best bid. That mala bead went $300 because he bid it. And so giving means totally let go emotionally. Otherwise, there is no love. Okay? That means attachment. That means attachment. Now, so I was explaining all those things to people. That lady, she didn't like it at all what I said. Other people start to laugh. What she did, she grabbed her purse. She said, you are bad monk. I don't like you. You hurt my feelings. Everybody laugh at me. I never come to this place again. She stormed out. Think about middle of the meditation, somebody's angry, leaving. It is really difficult. I felt a little sad, but anyway, I said it is all right. Then she left. Then I shared another story with the people. When I was in Australia, one day, one young man walking behind me dropped $20 in front of me. Okay? So if you are sitting outside, somebody drop you $10, maybe you may think, oh, somebody think I'm homeless. But when I see that $20, I was so happy. Why I got $20? Why not? And plus, I am a monk. I'm so used to that kind of lifestyle. So I felt somebody gave me a donation. What I have to do now? What I have to say now? I have to say thank you. I turned my head to say thank you. I didn't have time to say thank you. He just dropped the $20 and walked very fast. Now I can see from the distance he is walking away. I didn't have time to say anything. He didn't wait for anything. I didn't see his face. He didn't looking at my face. Then I felt this is the best gift ever I ever received. No verbal communication. I felt that's true love. That's true kindness. That's true compassion. Everything is there. I explained to everybody. Everybody accepted. Now what happened? That lady, the story is not end yet. She went home. She sent me a long email. That's what happening here. And when something happened during the day, at night they cannot sleep. They are typing emails. Now, long email blaming me, accusing me, you are bad Buddhist monk, I don't like you, hurt my feeling, everybody laughing at me. Then I send a very kind, nice email, my dear, I love you no matter what. So please understand something going on, you are not honest to yourself, you are not telling me the truth, and please try to find self-love. Then a very short email, then send me another bad email, I hate you. Really bad. Then, you know, it doesn't matter, I don't want to accept that. Then I sent another kind email, and no, try this and that. Then she said, no, I don't like you. Now, third email. When I get the fourth email, very negative, I felt, now she's pushing my buttons. Okay? My loving kindness doesn't mean I'm practicing foolishness. Okay? Don't misunderstand loving kindness, okay? So what I did, I sent her email, last one, okay, we don't go anywhere. I cannot control you. You send me as many emails you want. It doesn't matter for me. But this is the deal. I don't read your emails anymore. Every time when I see your emails, I delete it. It's easy. Just delete and done. Okay? So I did, you know, like almost 1 month. Every time when I see her email, I just delete. Now one day, I saw one email from her. Subject says, be kind, read my email. Okay? So I thought, why not? I opened the email. I was crying. This is the story. This is a true story. Think about the wounded minds. She was telling me, she was writing this email 12:30 at night. She was telling, Bhante, I apologize, I gave you hard time. Actually, she didn't give me hard time. She had hard time, right? And today is my 40th birthday. I have an issue. What is the issue I have? I am so angry with my mother. I'm so angry with my mother. When I was 10 years old, I used to live in Los Angeles with my mother. She is a single woman, drug addict and alcoholic. Physically, mentally, verbally, she abused me. I hate her. I hate her. When I was 10, I was a teenager, we moved to Chicago. Now we are living somewhere around. One day I walking by this church building, my temple now. I saw a little sign outside. It's called the Blue Lotus Meditation Group. I was thinking, this is the best place for me to relax. See, I said in the beginning, this is best place for me to relax. Now she joined to the meditation. I joined to it. You are so funny, happy, laugh, jokes. I was thinking this is the best place for me. I enjoyed 3 years. Middle of nowhere, you change the format of the meditation. You ask us to practice self-love, which I really don't want to. Why? If I become a good person, I cannot hate my mother. Think about human mind. I cannot hate my mother. I understand what you said as a knowledge, but in practical level, I don't want to. Then she was thinking, I want to hate my mother first, finish hating, then I become a good person. That was her plan. Now she was thinking, my 40th birthday, my mother is over 70, I cannot handle this anger anymore. I don't want to die as an angry woman. I don't want to carry it my rest of my life. She used the word, Bhante, I want to let go. There's another beautiful word she used, I want to surrender. I want to surrender. Right after I let go, I felt so much love towards me, and also I felt so much love towards my mother. End of the email, she said something beautiful. I love it, I never forget about it. If my mother knows better, she never do this. That's enough. If something happening around the people, around your family members, that is how you have to think. If they knows better, if they know better, they never do this. Easily you can let go. Then I sent the beautiful another email. Okay, you got it. I'm so happy. We had the big fight. Anyway, you got it. I didn't ask her to come back to the temple. That's not my job. And one day, after a few months later, I'm getting ready Saturday morning meditation, winter day in Chicago. I saw handicap access door open. Then I saw older lady using a walker try to walk into the room. I don't know her. I was thinking I want to help to get in. What I did, I just walking towards her, I saw somebody coming from the car. I recognized the person. That's the daughter. Daughter and mother both came to meditation practice together. Mother practiced with me more than 3 years. I call the grandma. She passed away. Now this daughter, she's beautiful woman. I have a nickname for her. I call Little Saint. Why? Her heart like a saint. She's so loving, so compassionate. Every year, now she did the third year, every year she's doing a memorial service, name of her mother, at the temple, practicing meditation. And also she has something beautiful. Every time when somebody come to the meditation, during the like meditation practice, she get up and offer her seat. Again, she get up, offer her seat. Every time I can see end of the meditation, she sit in a far away in a corner and practicing meditation. That's the heart. When you truly practice loving kindness, you can let go. You can care about other people. What you have to understand, you are the world, not what we see outside. If you create your inner world beautiful, that means you are healing whole world. That's whole point. I'm always telling people, forget about other people. Forget about your family member. Don't misunderstand me. When you come to your spiritual practice, be selfish. Be selfish. Why? Nobody cannot help you. Now I can help in you 25%. But you had to do it yourself 75%. That's your job. Okay, now next word you have to understand. The word love you use in the United States. I'm confused. Okay, you have to help me. So first time when I come to this country, I was trying to learn the language. People say, I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my boyfriend. I love my girlfriend. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. I love my dog. I love ice cream. I'm sorry, I'm confused. Now I'm okay now. And so, in my language, when I talk mother's love or the parents' love, I have word. It perfectly makes sense. When I say, mom, I love you, it's totally different word. Brothers and sisters, different word. Animal is a different word. Then we understand it. When people said, I love my mom, I love ice cream, I love dog, as a second language I use now, English, I'm confused. Now I totally get it. When people say, I love you, it means I like it. I like you. Be careful, it is so dangerous, I think, right? So, love is not a quality. Love is not a quality. Love is a weak human emotion. Okay? Love is not a quality. It is a weak human emotions. Any relationship we start with loving emotions. Nothing wrong with that. According to the Western culture way, I understand. If I'm wrong, please correct me. I love to learn from you. If somebody has too many emotions, it is wrong. Something wrong. If you have somebody, your family, your friends, or boyfriend, or girlfriend, people come to me and say those things. Bande, my boyfriend has so many emotions. I don't like it. My girlfriend has so many emotions. I don't like it. So then in psychology, I can see, because I was studying Western psychology too, they use a word for that. Chemical imbalance. Chemical imbalance. I'm not offending to the psychology. Don't misunderstand. This is why I observe it. When chemical imbalance, we have to balance the chemical. Then we do something else to balance the chemical. You know what it is. No need to explain. Then according to the Buddhist wisdom, Buddha said, it doesn't matter if you have emotions, it is totally fine. It is totally okay. It's beautiful. Because we are human beings, we have emotions. What you have to do, watching and observing your emotions, then you have to develop those emotions to the higher level. Love is an emotion, loving kindness is a quality. Love is an emotion, loving respect is a quality. Loving accept is the quality. Loving let go is the quality. So always we are in emotional level. So other, you know, the two extremes I can see here, when we have emotions, what people do, number one emotion, one extreme, express. When you have emotions, we express, right? Is it good thing? Express your emotions. Sometimes you feel, it depends on how you express it, right? So Buddha said, express your emotion, another extreme. There's another extreme, suppress your emotions. Express or suppress? When you suppress your emotions, what will happen? It will come back. When you express your emotion, later you feel regrets about it. So Buddha said both are extremes. Okay? Then Buddha gave two words. You know, go from those extremes away. Analyze your emotions and realize your emotions. Not express or suppress. Analyze or realize. I can do another full workshop about analyze and realize. I'm not going to do that now. So understand, the best thing to do, analyze your emotions and realize your emotion. Then you can do a best relationship ever. Best relationship ever. You are so connected to all the people. So, this is what I experienced. One time when I was in school, young couple, maybe boyfriend and girlfriend, my friend Matt, he came to me holding young girl's hand and to cafeteria and introduced, Bante, this is my girlfriend, I love her so much. I said, congratulations, next month I'm going to marry her. I said, all the blessing. As a Buddhist monk, what can I say? So then they left. They are so cute, the way they behave. And 3 years later, I met my friend because we were in the same class. And at the school hallway, I asked, Matt, how are you doing? How is your wife doing? Then right away, he is looking at me straight. And he said, Bhante, don't talk about her. I asked, why? She ruined my life. I hate her so much. I said, Matt, don't say that. You are my friend. That's not right. Do you remember 3 years ago how you introduced your girlfriend to me? I love her so much. I'm going to marry her next month. Then he asked me, did I say that? Even he cannot remember. What it means? What is that? That's true love? No, that is the emotion. That emotional love. So, as I said in the beginning, our emotional love, that's the first ingredient for the relationship. When we have emotional love, next to that, there's something else. What is that? Emotional love and something going parallel. Excitement. Right? Emotional. Think about your first date. Very emotional and excitement. Now, 3 years being in a marriage, what is going on now? No excitement. Now they have to face to the reality. They don't have tools. Why? They emotionally engage. In that day, the way they behave in front of me, I was thinking, oh, I want to have a girlfriend too. No, just kidding. I'm so glad I didn't make that decision. So now I'm telling you, be careful. After this whole Lucidity Festival, somebody will come to you and say, I love you. Be careful, you don't know what is coming. Right? So I know personally, so many people love me. It doesn't matter who they are, people always, you know, I'm so used to that word now. Oh, Bhante, I love you, you did a great job, I love you, always I hear that. So people send me text messages. Bhante, I love you. Then I send the text message, me too. When somebody say I love you, the best response to do, me too. Why? You have to love yourself. Then I was so quiet, you know, like a minute. Then I sent another text message, I love you too. What it means, I have to put myself first, then I have to address others. So, if somebody come to you after the festival, I love you, you have to say me too. So, not offending to anybody. Then start the relationship after that. That means you are giving right away, your wisdom is present. The best place for you to understand self-love, when you are in an airplane. When you are in an airplane, they give us the safety instructions. One of them is, put your oxygen mask first before you assist other person. 2600 years ago, Buddha said that. Put your oxygen mask. That means self-love. How beautiful that teaching. It is always present. Now think about, now you are practicing this, you know, the loving kindness meditation. Every day, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. Keep trying to bring that awareness to you. Then what will happen to your life? Your personality will change. Your personality will change, totally change. The way you talk, way you act, way you smile, way you handle situation is totally change. So, now think about somebody really angry in your family or your partner or your boyfriend or girlfriend. Do you like that person? When somebody is angry, you say you look so beautiful. You say you look like a demon. I'm done, right? I'm going away. So you don't want to live with the demons. You don't want to live with angry people. That means you don't like those personalities. So when somebody is loving, kind, very gentle, always people attract into that person and the personality. That is the result of practicing loving kindness. That's the result of practicing loving kindness. So we are attracting to other people in good ways. Okay? So, next part, you know, everything we have to prove in modern science. That's how American people accept things. Now, University of Wisconsin, they did the research about self-loving kindness, self-healing meditation. They put a Buddhist monk head all the wires and ask him to practice loving kindness. Then they found when somebody practiced self-compassion meditation, boosting their immune system. Think about somebody get angry. What will happen? They are poisoning their blood. When somebody gets angry, poisoning their blood, that means that poison blood going all over the bloodstream. Then it's affecting your immune system. Of course, that's what Buddha said. And also they found when somebody practice loving kindness, that person always smiling. It means 300 facial muscles are stimulating. 300 facial muscles. Sometimes I cannot stop smiling. I don't know, it's a good disorder to have. And so I cannot stop. I smile to all the people. One day I was smiling in the hallway at the school, my first or second year. And I was smiling, one woman asked, "What's wrong with you?" Because I cannot stop, I just smile. And so that's okay to smile. That's your heart. That's how you feel inside. So just smile, that's the loving kindness. So now you are keep practicing this loving kindness, then as I said, your personality will change. Now you are smiling, you are happy, you are peaceful, you are kind, and always you are connecting with all the people. It doesn't matter, you know them, whether it doesn't matter. So this is last part of this. Now you have to repeat these three words: I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. Very simple. Forget about all the stories I said. I call the monk junk, right? And so forget about all the information I said. Just take these simple three words: I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. The best time to practice this loving kindness meditation while you are driving somewhere. Somebody cut you off. Then you repeat, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. No need to engage with that angry people. Somebody honking you. Don't engage. I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. Somebody mad. I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. That means you are so centered with yourself. Now I am asking people to do that. One day one man came. Bhante, I am practicing this loving kindness, repeating these three words more than 1,000 times. Still I am angry, no? Then I said, fake it until you make it. Right? Just fake it. Why I say that? When I was a young monk, I had the issue with anger. I was 13 years old because I became a monk to, 11. Now I had the problem in the school with angry with one of my brother monks. And so I was troubled in the school. Within 5 minutes, whole school closed because of my actions. And then my teacher said, you are done, you are going home. Then the staff said, no, let's give him one more chance. This is my honest experience. Then I was thinking, okay. Then my teacher said, this is what you have to do. You are little angry monk. Can you believe little angry monk? When you're looking at me, do you believe it? Maybe you don't. I was little angry monk. Right? And so I'm very honest. So now my teacher asked me to repeat those three words first time in my life when I was 13 years old. Now I'm keep repeating. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just has to say it at loud, middle of the yard, everybody around, loud, like chanting, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. Then I can see my teacher walking by, then I have to say it louder. Why? Teacher is walking by, master, right? Then I can see right after my teacher walking by, the monk, little monk, who I don't like, he also walking by. I really don't like him. So he is so happy I am punished. Then he is looking at me, kids. He is so smiling and happy and walking by. Then I say, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. I hate you, I am well, I am happy, I am peaceful. That's how I practiced loving kindness when I was 30. Now look now, it's totally changed. Now that young monk living in Australia, I am living in the United States. Now we are adults and we love each other every single minute. We Skyping every day. These days he keeps sending me the message, where are you? Because I cannot talk to him all the time. So that is true love. So the last one, when you practice, your whole body change. That love come to your hand. That love come to your words. That love come to your eyes. No need to use any words. Just looking at a person, you are radiating that love. Just touching and putting your hands top of the person, you are giving that healing to that person, that means you become a natural healer. No need to do a healing course. Practicing loving kindness, you can become a natural healer. Okay? So this is my last story, I'm done. One time, I was ready to, I'm going away from my class like this, and one lady is sitting outside and waiting for me with two children. Then she said, I want to talk to you. Do you remember me? I said, I'm sorry, I met so many people, I cannot remember you. I met you 4 years ago. I came to the temple. I said, I cannot remember. That day I was going through my divorce. I was so angry with my husband. He was cheating on me. And so my friend asked me to go to the temple and meditate with you. I just came middle of nowhere, don't know what to do. I was just sitting, everybody so quiet. I was crying so loud. I was close my eyes, I'm crying and crying and crying. I closed my eyes, then I felt somebody was sit next to me. But I didn't open my eyes. Then I felt somebody holding my hands. Then right away, I just opened my eyes. Who is holding my hand? Then I saw, you are sitting next to me, holding my hand and practicing meditation with me. In that moment, I felt, right now, in this moment, I hate men. But this monk, he doesn't know me, know what is happening in my life, no idea. Without any judgment, in this moment, he cares about me. I don't know what's going on in her life. But she said, according to her story, I was sitting there and holding her hand and practicing meditation. Then I left and sit on my cushion again. Then she felt, now I want to leave. I cannot remember at all. Because even I cannot remember her face, because I didn't looking at her face. So then she said, Bhante, that day I felt something good about my life. I don't know how to describe it, but I left with good feeling. Now I had that energy 4 years. I left the place I live. You know, I live far away now, hour away from you. One day I saw you are teaching in this area. I thought I want to come and say hi to you and remind my story. Then she said, whatever I received 4 years ago, still I have it. It's so beautiful. It is so powerful. These are my two children. And so I want to renew it. That's what I am here. Then I love to make the jokes with the people. Then I said, okay, just holding your hands, you got 4 years, huh? That's great, I'm so happy. How about I'm going to give you a hug? Then I gave her a hug. Then I said, 8 years, right? And so, how beautiful that experience, right? So I didn't have any idea, I didn't have remember. And so without unconditionally, in that moment, maybe I felt about that woman. I just did it. I felt all the people like that all the time. It doesn't matter who they are. So when you truly practice loving kindness, taking care of yourself, your own mind, you become really true, deep saint. You become a saint. So that means you all are Buddhas to me. I see thousands of Buddhas here in this ground. You know, this is my first experience like this kind of festival. I never been such things being a Buddhist monk, because I started my journey as a, you know, the little monk and like 12 years old. It is a totally different world for me, but I did very well. I experienced something wonderful, how strong, how powerful my practice. I'm totally confident about my practice being here. It is a good check for me. I check it. I'm going home today. Check, you know, and so I go at with full enlightenment in my mind. So I'm so grateful all of you and share your stories and experiences. Thank you so much. Thank you. Any questions to ask? How much? Yeah. So how much? Yes and no, both. So, as I said, we have so many meditation techniques. Most of meditation techniques we use in the modern world, they are not real meditation techniques. They are relaxation exercises. I call it warm-up exercise. When you go to gym, we do the warm-up exercise, right? Then we have to do lifting weights and all those things. So those mantra and kind of things, they are relaxation exercises. Those are not true deep meditation practice. But real meditation practice focus on the breath. That means you are focusing on your real life. But you can use, I'm always helping people to do this, and so don't use something you don't know the language. Why I give you a mantra in my language? So what I'm asking people, pick one word you want to practice and bring attention to your life, right? Pick the word, the loving kindness. Say each bead the word loving kindness. Loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. 108 times. You can say, then it become real. You can see some mala beads in the front desk, and that's the purpose of that. I always carry it, I always wear it. Think about you are very distracted board meeting or meeting at the office. You can do this practice, loving kindness under the table. Loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. Lot of annoying people. Sometimes in the meeting, right? So then loving kindness, I do a lot because I'm always with the people. It will help me so much. That word loving kindness or word compassion, whatever word you feel right to practice, it will help you. Any other questions?
I noticed that a lot of what you're wearing, and it's all really like burgundy. Everything is like the same color.
Okay. So we have two robe colors, all this color and saffron color. It is always close to the nature. And also monks use colors from trees to make this robe color, not anymore. But I can see, like 20 years ago I did it. Now, being in the United States, I cannot do it. Still we do it in Sri Lanka. It is a whole meditation practice, coloring our robes. Yeah, yeah. Anything?
Monks that have achieved rainbow body.
What is the rainbow body? Because you know when you practice meditation, only purpose of practicing meditation, find your own contentment. Okay? After you find your contentment, you get different skills. It makes sense? You can go away from your body, you can become two, and you can walk on the water and all those things. But don't do meditation practice to get those things. Those things are part of your practice, come automatically. Right? Automatically. Those are the results. Without expectation, just make yourself content and peaceful and enlightened. So after that, those things will happen. Whether they are not happen is fine too, but still you are content. This makes sense? Okay, anything else? Yes. I will say lots of fun. Lots of fun, right? Yes. So yesterday, somebody called me and asked, you know, they know, Chicago people know I am being in such a wonderful festival. They are so curious, what is my experience being here, right? I said, so funny to say, monk going wild. They are waiting to see me, and so I'm sorry to say that, but I enjoyed saying it. I said monk going wild. So that's what I'm going to use for the Chicago people after I go home. So now they are waiting. I had to give a full talk about it this whole trip, so I will. So now they are waiting for that. Yeah. And also before I finish, so you can see some people are wearing this well, happy and peaceful, the band. Those three words I use. And also a few CDs we have. This is a good gift, somebody you like and somebody you don't like. Okay? And also somebody, one of my students donated 5,000 of them. Because I am doing a project 7 years now, supporting the premature babies and also the mothers. First time when I go to hospital to do the blessing for the mother, I saw all the pregnant women and in the hospital waiting for the delivery, sleeping on the floor. They don't have beds. I felt so sad, and so then I asked the doctor, is there anything I can do? Then doctor said, okay, they are fine without breaks. They are okay. But if you can do, give us an incubator, that's great. I asked, what is incubator? I never seen that. Then he took me to a room and showed me a little machine, an old one. I call the toaster oven. And they put three babies there because they don't have many. Then I came home and raised fund and donated the incubator. Now I'm going to donate the seventh incubator. It's become a ritual. And now all my friends and support into that project, I gave them vitamins. Now nobody's sleeping on the floor anymore. And so I'm always supporting those women. So we raise funds and those selling those mala beads and all the items we have in the front desk and support the mothers and the babies if you are interested. And also I have a few CDs. One is Driving with Bhante. Fill up on peace, put the brakes on rage. So many people have road rage. Two of my students had the car accident. After that, I made this CD. So including myself, and so we need, because this has lots of stories, and even children love this CD while they are driving with parents, right? So it's beautiful if you are interested. And also this is a group chanting CD from the temple. My new CD, this is my new CD, Bedtime with Bhante. But in Chicago, people call the Sleeping with Bhante. That's another nickname for this, which I don't like. And so anyway, and people who has a problem with, you know, the sleeping, catch up the sleeping, many people said within 5 minutes we are falling asleep. This has a beautiful chant I did in the beginning. So it has a full chant, end of this CD. And also this is the last one, but you can see the different cover, Putting Out the Fires in Your Mind. It is guided meditation CD, 15 minutes guided meditation and 30 minute guided meditation. If anybody interested, you can purchase this CD from Spencer. Yeah. And also we have cards. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Facebook. There are a few pages. And also Instagram. Thank you, Spencer. And also I have daily blog. It's called Morning Coffee Wisdom with Bhante Sujata. And it's a small blog. Every morning when you get your coffee, you can read your emails. And you can sign up. You can go to bhantesujata.org and you can pick my cards. And so whatever question you want to ask, email me. So I will get back to you. Okay? Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Everybody wants to take a picture with me?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Well, everyone, that concludes this week's episode. If you have enjoyed this positive download, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.